Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for your home, auto, or commercial business needs at pncinsurance.net.
Let's check in with that dude who covers the Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and us right here on the Wendy's Big Show. There is Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. How are you this afternoon, Woody?
Doing well. How's it going?
Doing well. I don't know if you were listening. We were talking with David Bakhtiari right before we got you on. He told us all about his bye week and what he did. What does a Green Bay football insider do with their bye week?
A lot of rest. Because I was so rested, I was able to do a corn maze and walk about 5 miles with my six-year-old yesterday, so that was nice. Yeah, not a lot of football. Really unplugged and didn't pay much attention to what happened yesterday. Checked the NFC North scores, obviously, but just a lot of R&R and getting kind of refreshed for the week and the weeks and the months ahead.
So you also didn't watch football? That's the same thing David Bakhtiari said. He said he didn't watch any football except a little bit of the Thursday night game.
Before I covered football for a living, I would watch every snap all the time. And don't get me wrong, I love the game. And there's a reason why I wanted to cover the NFL. But no, now that I am immersed in it every day, if I get a bye week, I am unplugging. Football is about the last thing on my bye week that I want to be paying attention to.
All right. Makes sense, I guess.
Makes all the sense in the world
to me. For sure, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this trade deadline here. Amari Cooper goes for a first-round pick to the Dallas Cowboys. First, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, a one's a lot to give up, obviously, but and it's, you know, Amari Cooper's been good. I don't think he's been great. And the fact that he's had Derek Carr is significant because it's not like he's coming from a situation where – he had a bad quarterback, and that might have affected his numbers. Look, he's had a pair of 1,000-yard seasons, but I don't know if he's been a game changer that you expected. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, maybe he's the missing piece that they're looking for to team him with Dak, but a one's a lot to give up. There's no question about that.
Okay, so what does that then mean for a Patrick Peterson who's trying to get himself out of Arizona? I mean, if you're giving up a one for Amari Cooper, that has to, I would think, dramatically raise what they're going to get in return for Peterson.
Yeah, I think it gives the Cardinals a lot of leverage for sure. I don't know if it works exactly like player negotiations where if Aaron Donald sets the market, then Khalil Mack can just leapfrog him a week later and say, okay, I want to get this because it's more. But no, it certainly gives the Cardinals leverage in their negotiations. I would expect that they would get something more than a one. But, you know, a one is still a one. Just because one team overpays for an Amari Cooper, potentially, you know, a one for Patrick Peterson, if it's an early first-round pick, I you know, that might be enough.
Do you get the sense that, because under Ted Thompson, we weren't even talking about any potential trades the week before the trade deadline. We've already seen Brian Gutekunst sort of operate differently than what we saw from Ted Thompson over the years. Do you get the sense that the Packers are active leading up to the trade deadline, Ryan? Is that anything that you're hearing?
Depends on your definition for active. I think that certainly they're active in that they're making phone calls and they're talking to people around the league. Does that mean, you know, does active necessarily have to mean that they make a trade? I think that's to be determined and probably more unlikely than likely. Just because there's a lot of moving parts to actually pulling off a trade, it's a lot more than, hey, there's a deficiency on this roster. It needs to be addressed. You have an asset, go do it. You've got to have a partner to dance with. So I've said this before on this show. Years past, Ted Thompson's the GM. It's the week of the trade deadline. There's a clear deficiency like there is on this year's roster with an edge rusher. It would be very, very easy to just completely dismiss it. Oh, that's not going to happen. I don't think you can do that with Brian Gutekunst, but that doesn't mean that a trade is imminent either, because they are tough to pull off, especially in the middle of the season.
And the other thing is, this team needs pass rushers, and I don't really see any pass rushers that are out there and available on the market.
Exactly.
Have you seen any names out there?
No, no one that I would give up a number one for. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, if you go down the line, maybe there's some mid-level guys, but Brian Gutekunst and GMs in the league will have a much better feel for the layout of the land than anyone else. So I certainly don't see a huge blockbuster coming. That's why the Khalil Mack situation was so significant, because that is so rare that you get the potential to trade for a field-tilting pass rusher at a premium position. It just doesn't happen very often. I don't see anything like that, certainly, available this week.
Yeah, I think one of clock management, time. Oh, we talk about a lot of that kind of stuff. And McCarthy say he wants to do what he wants to do, whatever. But defense is starting to come to the point to where people have to step up and make plays. My question is, how do you think the whole process of Penn's defense starting to separate themselves from defenses in the past? I mean, if you're Don Capers, you're thinking, well, my defense can do that. I mean, he has to really separate himself this next, nine games, or people are just going to say that was just a complete failure.
Yeah, I'm someone that a year ago I stood up and said it wasn't Dom Capers. I still don't think it was Dom Capers' fault. I think without premier players on the defense side of the football, you don't play good defense. And I don't see game changers on that side of the ball anymore now than I did a year ago. The one difference, perhaps, might be that I think they are better in coverage, especially on the perimeter, not down the middle of the field, for goodness
right.
sakes. But I think the perimeter of the field at corner, they're better in coverage than they've been the past couple years. But you need good players to play good defense. It's a player's game. Scheme is important, don't get me wrong, but it's execution. It's making plays that change games, and you need good players to do that. They didn't have them the past couple years, didn't play good defense. I haven't seen a lot of game-changing plays this season. I think we're about to find out, though, where they are in relative to the years past, because the one, if you had a signature issue for this defense the past couple of years, they have not been able to put up much of a contest at all against elite quarterbacks, the upper echelon franchise starters, Jared Goff, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. They're all looming. Let's not forget Kirk Cousins, 5 weeks in Minnesota. They've got some good quarterbacks on their schedule that is upcoming. It's one reason why these next 5 weeks are so important.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I want to just know availability. When do they have to talk about injuries? I think maybe Wednesday or later in the week, or because I want to know about Geronimo Ellison, Cobb. I want to know how King's shoulder, if he's on injury report. When did these guys have to talk about injuries this week?
I think it's not to confuse you, but tomorrow will be Wednesday, and then Wednesday will be Thursday. The Packers pushed up their game week schedule a day. Usually Tuesday is an off day for players. Tomorrow, Tuesday, is going to be their first practice, and they're actually going to go out west to the West Coast on Friday instead of Saturday to give them an extra day to acclimate to the time change. And obviously, it's a very grueling travel schedule they have coming up. So going out west, they want to get out there earlier. So I think we'll start to have an idea tomorrow. Mike McCarthy said that he's hopeful that Aaron Rodgers will practice tomorrow. It would be his first kind of quote-unquote Wednesday practice, even though it's a Tuesday, since he injured his knee week one against the Bears. So another sign of his progression. I would think that you're probably – you just had a guess, and Monday after a bye, so I'm just guessing. But I would think that Jaire Alexander has a good chance to return this week. I would think that both receivers, Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison, have a good chance to return this week.
Yeah.
Rashad Breeland, I think he would too. I wouldn't be surprised to see all four of them, but we'll have to see when they actually start practicing and when the report comes out.
Last thing for me real quick, and then we have a few more seconds, which I think – Steve may have some. But if you look in this division, the Packers have to know that everything is starting to work in your favor to stay close. I mean, Chicago losing, and, you know, I know you still got Minnesota one, but you still – everything is still in front of you, all your goals. I'm sure they have to know that everything worked out in their favor, that the team that was in first place is coming back to the Pack.
Yeah, I caught a lot of fury on Twitter a week ago for saying that going into New England, the Bears were a point and probably about a yard from being 5-0. That's not to say the Bears are a good team. If you're a good team, you get that point, you get that yard. It's to say that the Packers and the Vikings, for that matter, are fortunate that the Bears were unable to capitalize on those opportunities to separate themselves from the rest of the division, because as it is now, in reality, it's all a hodgepodge. I mean, they're all kind of lumped together. And a big question, I think, going forward is how many, you know, the next 5 weeks, the next five opponents on the schedule are 23-10-1 combined. Now, the next five to close the season are 12-20. So it gets pretty soft at the end of the year. But how many games do they need to win over the next five for that to matter? I think if they could win two, go 2-3 in this stretch, that'd be awfully good for them. And they'd be sitting pretty for the last five. A big reason for that is because no one in the NFC North has seized control of the division.
They're about 70 rushing attempts behind the leader, the National Football League. They're 30th in the National Football League right now at 132 rushing attempts. McCarthy says today that, you know, they need to run the ball more. With all due respect, he says that every year at this point. So I'm not really holding my breath that it's actually going to happen. But in an ideal world, Ryan, where would you want to see them as far as middle of the pack, as far as rushing attempts, or where would you want to see them?
Middle of the pack, yeah, maybe, you know, 2/3 of the way down the list to middle of the pack.
I mean, there are only, what, three teams worse than they are at this point in rushing attempts. The one that's just above them in the standings, Atlanta. The other one that's dead last with only 115 rush attempts are the New York Giants. They're down there with the Packers. Pittsburgh's down there as well with a very few running attempts, which is surprising because Pittsburgh for a number of years was all about running the football. Mm-hmm. They haven't run the football nearly as much without Le'Veon Bell in there.
Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh, yeah.
But tell him where the Rams are, Steve.
Rams are number one.
Oof.
I've thought for a couple weeks now that you might be looking at, especially in terms of personnel usage, Aaron Jones has got to carry a large portion of the workload over these next couple games. And if there is a long-term approach to prepare for the teeth of the schedule, perhaps it's Aaron Jones not getting more carries and touches the past few weeks so that he's completely fresh for now, because you need your best players to be touching the football against the best teams, the Rams, the Patriots. My thought for a few weeks now is that you're going to see Aaron Jones get the lion's share, but who knows? You know, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think he needs to, but that doesn't mean that he will. I think it's going to be very interesting.
Ryan and I were talking not football but baseball while the Brewers game was going on Saturday night.
We were
exchanging some texts, and I think I blew Ryan's mind a little bit with a big statement that I made. Sparky, and I'm willing to admit that it's a big statement. What are your thoughts on it? See if you agree with me. I said, maybe, just maybe, if he can stay healthy before all is said and done, we might be watching the GOAT in Mike Trout. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, maybe.
You asking me or Sparky?
No, I'm asking Sparky. You thought I was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
You thought I was absolutely out of my mind.
Yeah, that's pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've always compared him to Mantle. That's been the comparison. A lot of other people compare him to Mickey Mantle, too. Mickey Mantle's not that. But I think he's a really, really good baseball player that needs to figure out a way to get in the biggest series that everybody plays every year.
Right, so that's, people can actually see how good he is.
Right.
Well, in the context of our conversation, Robbie, it was also – because we're talking about kind of a Mount Rushmore's per, you know, because here in Wisconsin, obviously, you've got three MVP candidates.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, Christian Yelich, and Giannis.
Yeah, that is how the conversation started. I forgot all about that. We were saying name another city or state that has an equivalent big three to what
we
have here in Wisconsin.
LA maybe with LeBron. Football, I said Aaron Donald. I think you said Todd Gurley. To me, Aaron Donald is probably the best defensive player in football.
Yeah, I said LeBron, Trout, and Gurley.
Trout, and I said Clayton Kershaw, because to me, like, Mike Trout's clearly the best player of this decade, but Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher of decades. I mean, when's the last time we've seen a Kershaw? So to me, because of that, I lean more towards Kershaw.
I think they're both once-in-a-generation type of players, but I don't know. If we're talking about daily players, position players, I really think we might be watching the GOAT in Mike Trout. I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out, Ryan Wood. I'm just glad to talk some baseball with you, man. I enjoyed it.
It's fun. Yeah, it was. And you know what? It was fun to see the ride the Milwaukee went on. Look, I'm a Mets fan, so I know pain. My team lost the World Series when their first baseman couldn't throw to home. So I've been there.
How again did you become a Mets fan?
So I'm from Indiana, from a cornfield in Indiana. There's no professional baseball team in Indiana. My dad's from Queens. Grew up on Long Island.
That's how.
So yeah, it was the familiar tale of father and son bonding over baseball, which now I have since passed on to my 6-year-old, who is an absolute Mets monster. I think we've talked before that, you know, in like an 8-1 game with the Mets trailing in the ninth inning, he refused to turn the game off.
Good for him.
That's my 6-year-old.
I like that kind of
loyalty. Let me see if I got this straight.
Him right.
You went through pain and anguish with your team, and you decided, oh, let's pass that on to my son so he can experience the same crap. Why would you do that?
I know. First time I held my son, I apologized to him for being born a Mets fan. He didn't really have a choice. He was born into it, and it's not a pleasant life to live, but we live it anyway. You got to almost be kind of self-mutilizing to be a Mets fan.
Kids are going to get made fun of a lot in school. That's all I know.
That's our
being a Mets fan.
I hope not.
Because so far, Halloween's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
And here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Wow, that's every April. That's exactly it. Look, here's my life as a Mets fan. 1986, a little dribbler down the first base line goes through Bill Buckner's legs. The Mets get incredibly lucky. I was born 7 months later, and it's been all downhill from there. So I've never really... I've got two pennants that I've enjoyed, but one of them was a 5-game sweep. I mean, a completely domination to the crosstown Yankees, and then your first baseman can't throw to home, and he loses the World Series. So, yeah, it's been an adventure.
It's been a rough existence for you, baseball-wise. That is our Green Bay Football Insider, Ryan Wood, our guest every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on The Big Show. And you can find him inside the pages of the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Thank you very much, Woody. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you Wednesday.
And he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.